following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money is no fun.
Cops are out there cracking down on drunk driving all across the country. And they'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
To the King, the new album from Avenged Sevenfold. Larger than life, louder than hell. Critics are saying Avenged Sevenfold are the biggest rock band of the 21st century. A 9 out of 10, Metallica, your heirs have arrived. Hail to the King, available now.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all-sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, where the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth is once again on the road as we today move from Grand Island at our first Husker lunch of the year yesterday at the Plottage and GI. Today, we're at the Kearney Country Club for the fall sports preview, and UNK, Kearney Catholic, Kearney High coaches will be on hand, players will be on hand. And that gets underway with a meal at 11:45. The coaches will begin speaking at 12 noon. It is a new venue, so Loper fans, you're used to going to the Health and Sports Center for many years. It will be at the Kearney Country Club this year, and Matt and the gang here are going to do a great job. A meal is provided for lunch, $8 for the meal today, a deli buffet and tea, water for your beverages. So come on out, see the Kearney Country Club, enjoy some Loper, Star, and Bearcat athletic talk today. We'll always have a fall one. We have a winter one just to kind of get the community to know a little bit more. We've been talking a lot about that here on the Doug and Daddy Show throughout the month, but come on out today. You can start eating at around 11:45. The coaches speak at 12 noon. Monty Kratzenstein is my co-host today as we are just unbelievably 2 days away from kickoff for Nebraska. Most major college football teams get going this weekend. Some get going tonight. We've got a doubleheader here on ESPN. South Carolina, North Carolina at 5, Southern Cal and Hawaii. What a great way to spend a Thursday night. That's at 10 o'clock. So Monty's going to give us his thoughts. And our guest today on the Doug and Daddy Show for the high school scene, Carl Tesmer of Hastings St. Cecilia. We're going to go up to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. We talked about this last week on the show. The Veterans Committee selects two players for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And this doesn't mean they automatically get in, but they're put in the pool with 15 of the players that are still eligible out of the last 15 years of retirement. And then the Hall of Fame class is announced the day before the Super Bowl. And Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune wrote a pretty cool article on Mick Tinglehoff, the Lexington native, former Husker and Minnesota Viking, that probably should be in the Hall of Fame and isn't. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way about different players. And we'll talk with him about that. Plus it's Thursday. And well, We're a week away from the start of the NFL season, and that means Luke Hoover will join us from RotoWire. If you haven't had your draft, well, you will have it within the next week, or you won't have it in time for the season to start. So email us, Facebook us, however you want to send us, tweet us your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also tweet us at ESPN1460-1550, and we can also get a hold of us via the Facebook at ESPN Superstation. But, Monty, how's it going? Are you ready?
That's a lot of words you put in there, Doug. You get paid, by the word, because if you do, you are a rich man.
Yeah, well, I guess we all know the answer to that one.
Yes,
then,
we do. I was distracted. I can look off here to my right side, and I can see people teeing off on number 17. It's very distracting. Some of those golf swings are sometimes distracting.
My golf swing, very distracting. Country Club looks really, really nice this summer.
Nice venue here.
Some
beautiful
hot weather out there. Yeah, it's hard to believe with the way the temperatures are. When the kids started practice, we thought, my goodness, this is football weather. This isn't November, late October. And now it's going to be as hot as possible for these kids. Like Grand Island plays at Lincoln Northeast tomorrow night. Kearney High plays at Pius tomorrow night. Tonight for Grand Island, Kearney tomorrow. It's going to be pretty hot.
And it's a factor. If you're a high school coach or a college coach, you have to prepare for that sort of thing from the hydration standpoint or the depth standpoint, making sure. I mean, how many times have we all went to these games and you saw kids cramping up, you know, early in the game, and it's a factor. It's been hot.
What do you do when you've coached, obviously, for folks that don't know, Monty, former Husker and the Gothenburg Swede, and has coached at a variety of levels. But what do you do when you're trying to get your kids in shape and the coach knows some of these kids still aren't in shape and you still got to get them out there, and then you have to deal with that?
Well, there's some advantages now that maybe we didn't have way back, as far as a conditioning week and off-season programs. You know, sometimes you had to trust your kids coming in to shape, and now you see them during the summer. You see them, you know, week before practice actually starts, so you have a little better idea. I think sometimes the danger is, especially for young coaches that maybe haven't been through it before, sometimes the danger is taxing your kids too much. You know, you got to taper, and all track coaches know that. Yeah. You taper and you make sure they have their legs back, and you know, but nutrition and training, athletic training, all those sorts of things are so much better now than they ever used to be. You know, there's so much. You go into the training room at so many of the high schools, and you know, they talk about nutrition and hydration, and they talk about weight before and after practice, and those are important things. Where, you know, way back when they were giving out salt tablets, and they wouldn't let you. You hope that they throw a pass over by the sprinkler so you can stick your tongue in the water on the grass. That was as much as water as they used to get. Things are different now, so it's probably easier than it used to be.
Well, let's get into a little Husker talk. We had plenty of that yesterday with Sean Callahan. I want to thank GI Home Federal and the fine folks over at the Plottage for putting on another stellar Husker lunch to kick the season off. And the following Wednesdays for the rest of the season, we'll be at Cunningham's every Wednesday, the Doug and Daddy Show, and then the lunch is at noon. I also got a chance afterwards yesterday to finally get over to the State Fair. And here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Besides the food, which is great, uh-huh, and I should have tried the chocolate-covered bacon, but it's like 100 on the pavement yesterday. You don't even know what it was. I went ahead and bought some gumbo. Yeah, that, you know.
Okay. How'd that work for you?
It was awesome. Okay. It was awesome. Had the corn dog, had the fresh-squeezed lemonade. Mm-hmm. I could live on that stuff
Fried Oreos?
No, I've never got into the fried stuff. I haven't really tried the fried stuff. I'll be honest. I saw fried peaches. That intrigued me.
Yeah.
But I did take a walk through most everywhere I could get. I saw the sea lions. I saw all of the new things. They got the flying dogs out there. They got the pig races. That's crazy. Kids, if you got kids, you take them to the pig races. It's like right there at the entrance. That's pretty
Can you
fun.
Bet on the pig races?
Not that
you would ever do something like that.
Off track. Off track. And there is no truth to the rumor that I replaced the Oreo cookie at the finish line for the pigs with something less desirable so that my pig would win.
You wouldn't do that.
I was off to the side with the double stuff. But here, number three. I go into these exhibition buildings. Some of it, you see the crafts. I wanted to just grab every purple ribbon, red ripe tomato and eat it right there.
Sure.
But how is the world's problems not solved by going to a state fair? You've got the salt lamp that will cure all of your breathing problems. You've got the most incredible whip whisk that will do everything you want. The best grater that ever happened out there. The best pillow. The 2,000 thread count
cheats that you've got. How are the world's problems not solved by going to a state fair?
You play your cards right, maybe you can become a pitch man in the expo building, because that, or woman, that is, I will have to say this. I make fun of it. I laugh at it, just like you, maybe. But 3 years ago, we bought the world's best shower head at the state fair. You saw that display with the high pressure shower head?
Okay.
That baby is still, we've moved it from house to house because it's so good. So here's my tip of the day. When you're going to the expo building, I don't know about all that other stuff that they have, but I guarantee that shower head is the real deal.
See, and it may sound like I'm making fun, but I really want all that stuff. I want the salt lamp. They make it out of it, and I want that. But then I got all this stuff in my, what am I going to do? I want that.
I know. It's like watching TV at 2 a.m. on those infomercials, right?
No, this is better.
This is way better. This, it's right there. Better. You can touch it.
They got the amazing grill. Mm. Oh, it's good stuff. So, folks, if you get a chance, obviously get over to the State Fair. Besides the concerts and the food and all the exhibits, there's always some good stuff. Lots of music over there as well. But before we get too deep, just an initial thought here, a couple of minutes from Monty on the Huskers, because we're going to talk more about it later in the hour. But your thoughts on where you see Big Red right now and the confidence that Bo and the coaches seem to have in this team on all sides of the ball.
Well, there's nothing like preseason optimism, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody should have it.
Oh, you gotta have optimism. But you also have to have realism, too. And there's so many different aspects to a football team. And it's been – I mean, we're tired – I don't know if we're tired of talking about it, but we're tired of hearing about all this different things. We're tired of hearing about Taylor Martinez and you know, his senior year and all these things. But if you want to break it down, there are so many intriguing pieces to this puzzle that we don't know about. You know, there's little things that I love to think about. I love to look at, like, you know, the special teams. Everyone's talking about the kickers. That's okay. But how about the return game? How about the return game, which I thought was the most atrocious part of our season last year. Truly. We couldn't catch a punt, and it was different guys. And then we did catch it. You know, we have talent back there. And this year we really have talent back there. But I'm watching the punt return game and the kickoff return game and seeing, you know, scheme-wise and talent-wise, you know, that's a big thing to me, because there's so many big plays in that aspect of the game, field position. You know, that's one of the little things I'm looking at.
Sounds like Jamal Turner is going to be maybe the main band back there right now.
And again, we've been kind of waiting for Jamal Turner to be that guy. He's, I don't know, can you say he's paid his dues in the short time he's been there? But he kind of has. He's in the punt return game. You have to have a guy, first of all, as we saw last year, and you got to have a guy catch the ball.
Yeah.
But you got to have a guy make that first guy miss. If he makes that first guy miss, then you're off the races. Then your scheme takes over with your blocking, and then you got to have a guy that can finish. But, boy, I'd love to see punt returns for touchdowns. I mean, that is used to be such a big part of Nebraska football, and it's kind of went by the wayside. Everybody likes to talk about special teams, you know, that in kick, field goal, whatever, to win the game, but return game and coverage is a big deal to me.
Yeah, I've talked about special teams because I think this is very important. The Mario Bondi, Pat Smith battle and field goals and as many close games as Nebraska had, but you're right on point there with another part of special teams. Nebraska, part of the fumbles that we keep hearing about, they weren't all Taylor Martinez and out of the offensive set. Some of them were in the special teams, so something to keep an eye on. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, live from the Kearney Country Club for the Kearney Fall Preview, and we will be back in just a few minutes to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of high school football with Carl Tesmer. But when we come back, Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here at the Kearney Country Club, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. They're located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and you can check out everything online at thinkmidway.com. Right now, they have new Buick Encores in stock as part of their 2014 vehicles, over 100 brand new 2014s in stock, some starting at under $16,000. And, of course, we still want to congratulate our Nebraska season ticket winner, Sarah Wall, the summer promotion going on at Midway. She wins the Nebraska season tickets for the 8 home games. So whether you want to be a winner like that or whether you want to be a winner when you're driving a brand new or certified pre-owned vehicle, Midway Auto Dealerships can do it for you. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We're back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Big G Ace!
Welcome to Ace. What can I help you find today?
Well, I'm looking for a shade of turquoise paint that's not so turquoisey.
I gotcha. Meet Bella Luna 1046.
Aw, is he serenading me?
Plus, he's part of the Clark & Kensington Harmonious Color Palette.
He's perfect!
Need some helpful painting advice? Come see me, Marty, at Big G Ace, North Highway 281 in Hastings, and I'd be happy to help.
Find your soul paint at Ace, the helpful place.
The road hates your engine. They are adversaries, enemies, foes. The road will attack your engine with dirt, dust, and grime through your air filter any way it can. Fight back. Reclaim the horsepower the road tries to steal. Every 12,000 miles, it's easy to change to a Fram air filter that keeps dirt, dust, and grime out of your engine. If it's on the road, there's a Fram that fits. Find your Fram air filter at your local automotive store.
Performance Bicycle, the nation's largest cycling retailer, has created an event you have to see to believe. Now through Labor Day, it's Performance Bicycle's Super Summer Sale at performancebike.com. One-time special buys, inventory blowouts, end-of-season closeouts. Find savings of 40, 50, up to 60% off. Plus, category after category of top-name gear reduced for this online event. And all bikes on sale, many at the lowest prices of the summer. It's Performance Bicycle's Super Summer Sale at performancebike.com. Now through Labor Day.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Summertime is finally here. That old ballpark man is back in gear. Out on 49, man, I can see the lights. School's out and the night's rolling, man, just like a long lost friend you ain't seen in a while. You can't help but smile. And it's two bare feet on the dashboard.
Doug and Daddy Show rolls on. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein on this Thursday from the Kearney Country Club, where the fall sports preview with UNK, the Kearney Visitors Bureau, and Chamber of Commerce all putting together these Loper lunches. But today, because Kearney High and Kearney Catholic are involved as well, we just call it the Kearney Fall Preview. Come on out. Lunch starts at 11:45. Coaches begin speaking at 12 noon today at the Kearney Country Club. Different venue than it has been in the past, but a great venue, so come on out. Plenty of parking. And you can either park right up here in the lot or in lot 20. They'll shuttle you up the hill if that is the case. It's time now for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. What do you expect the Huskers to do Saturday versus Wyoming? We gave you three choices: win and cover the 29, win and not cover, or lose. Amazingly enough, Monty, 0% voted for lose.
Boy, we have smart people. We have smart people listening to us, Doug.
What do you think? Win by 28 or more, or win by less than 28?
Less than 28. I'm typically a more of a conservative Nebraska fan when it comes to things. But, you know, I always look at a high point spread like that, and I think, well, a lot of things have to go right. And they could.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also, especially in the first game, a lot of things that could go wrong. You know, turn the ball over and, you know, busted coverage and new guys and whatnot. So I always tend to lean more toward the not so much blowouts early on. But, you know, certainly that could happen. But I would vote for less than 20.
And when you have to cover that many, you got to score a lot of points. Not that Nebraska shouldn't, but you got to score a lot of points. And 62% of the public agreed with you. Nebraska wins but doesn't cover. 38% said they will. I just made a point yesterday that if you go back, and this isn't even the Osborne era where they covered, 75% of every game that they probably played and helped put some combines in the fields of Nebraska farmers out there. Even you go back the last 10, 11 years, Nebraska has more often than not, no matter who the opponent is, covered in that opening game. So I said they will cover just from that fact, even though I think Wyoming's definitely better than most of those teams that they've played.
Right. The other thing that always comes into play there is when do you score? Do you score early? Is it still a game in the third quarter? You know, are the starters still in? Are you keeping your foot to the pedal and keep going? Or is it a deal where you get up early and then you put a Tommy Armstrong in, you put some of the other guys in, and that's sometimes when the pace sometimes slows down. We've seen that before where it's a 28-24 nothing game, and all of a sudden it kind of comes to a little bit of a halt because of just those other guys haven't had as many repetitions, and it isn't as fast of pace. But I mean, listen, I'm not saying I hate to be cliche, but anybody can beat anybody, and this is not just a terrible team we're playing against. And it could be a tight game. You think of Wyoming over the years and how tight they have played pretty good teams even on the road, and so I'm not overlooking anything. I'm just saying that a lot of times you go into these first games, there's a lot more uncertainty than most games.
Our poll question for today goes back to the NFL. Who is your winner in the AFC North? The Bengals, the Browns, the world champion Ravens, or the Steelers? A lot of people seem to like the Bengals. I think the Ravens are just good enough. Even with all the turmoil and turnover, I'll take an underdog pick there, and I'll take the Ravens. You got a pick, Monty?
Oh, I got to jump on the Bengals bandwagon.
If Burkhead stays, then we can root for them.
Okay,
that's our Midtown Mark Cooler question today. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, last week, the Veterans Committee made their vote on who they would send forth for Hall of Fame nomination, and they took punter Ray Guy, who should be in the Hall of Fame in my estimation, and defensive end Claude Humphrey from the Atlanta Falcons. They did not take Lexington native, former Husker, and Minnesota Viking All-Pro Mick Tinglehoff. Came across a really good article the day of the voting by Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and he has a chance to join us this morning from the road here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, former Husker, Monty Kratzenstein with you here. Mark, thanks so much for the time. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Well, we're doing good, and I guess the first question, after reading the article and after Tinglehoff getting passed over so many years, were you surprised at all that he didn't get the call this year?
Well, I think whenever he retired, he was eligible in 84, so not surprised. But the reason I wrote the article is because I think that there was a lot of momentum gaining. I'm on the committee, but I'm not on the senior committee. But from what I was hearing, there's a lot of momentum being gained for Mick because, because of his resume, because they do feel like he's one of the prime candidates for the seniors committee of guys who's kind of slipped through the cracks. If you look at Mick's career and his All-Pro, standing and compared to some of the centers that are in there, I think there's a spot for him in the Hall of Fame. But I wasn't surprised, but I did think that this was probably first time in a long time that he was going to be given. He was given serious consideration this time.
Mark, I was wondering if, a lot of us in Nebraska certainly know about Mick Tinglehoff, and maybe we know more about him than a lot of people around the country, but does the fact that he's a center and offensive lineman play a big role as far as getting overlooked? Because it isn't like you can go back and look at a lot of statistics and comparing him to other offensive players.
Well, I think the offensive line is pretty well represented. There's guys that are in there, so it's not a position, just look, prime example would be punter. There's been a lot of, with Chris Cooley here last year in Minnesota, he drew a lot of attention for that, saying why isn't there a punter in the Hall of Fame, because it's such an important part of the game, or it plays a role in the game. So, but I think offensive linemen have gotten in. If you look at them, off the top of my head, I think there's seven centers in there. In the Hall of Fame, modern centers, guys who played their entire career only at center only. So I don't think it's that. His career does match up. I don't know if it used to be with the Vikings that not winning a Super Bowl, but there's been quite a run of Vikings here recently. So I'm not quite sure if there's a, if there's one way to pinpoint why Mick's not in.
Talking with Mark Craig of the Minneapolis Star Tribune here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, Doug Duda and Monty Kratzenstein. Mark, for the fans out there, when the regular Hall of Fame vote comes up, you kind of know who's out there and who's voting for, who's eligible. It's a whole different scenario with the senior committee. Can you kind of let the fans know you're not even really sure who's on the ballot, are they?
No, they don't. They don't release who they're being considered. And also, they have two Hall of Famers that meet with the committee of nine in Canton to kind of help them. And the guys that are the two Hall of Famers that go there have played the majority of their careers with a lot of these guys that are being considered. I can understand them not, releasing their names because, in order to speak freely and not have, there's a lot of fans. Fans are, have unrealistic expectations. I think that it has to be done in a way like that where they can speak freely and, give their honest opinion. Because one thing that over the years I've found out is if you tell a typical fan that someone's not a Hall of Famer, they immediately interpret that as you're saying they were a bad player. There's a lot of, a Hall of Fame is the top of the top. I mean, if you're not a Hall of Famer, it doesn't necessarily mean you were a bad player. I mean, you could be a very, very, very good player and not make the Hall of Fame. And I think people lose sight of that fact.
Have you heard a lot of reaction from Minnesota fans up in your area, negative reaction to this?
To Mick? I mean, Mick has played many generations ago in Minnesota. He even joked with me that he still goes to some of the games. He has tickets, and he just sits out in the crowd. And I said, does that draw a crowd? And he said, no. He goes, they don't even recognize me anymore. So it's been a long time. And this year it was more of the fact that Chris Carter got in. That's the one, the player that I would say most of your fans associated with. Chris had to wait 6 years, and in today's world that's an eternity for fans. And I think this year the attention was on the fact that Chris got in after waiting a lot of years. There's a lot of people who do still think that Tinglehoff will get in, and I think he'll at least be on the senior committee. He'll be picked by the senior committee, I would say, in the next few years. One reason I say that is because there's only two teams in the NFL that haven't been represented on that from that committee, and it's the Vikings and the Colts. So, and what kind of threw me for a little, surprised me a little bit this time was that Claude Humphrey was put on the senior committee. One of the two senior candidates again, and he was just on it, I think, in 2009. So guys can be put on this two-man candidate list more than once. So, and I think it's happened five or six times now. So that also hurt Mick. It was the fact that the senior committee felt so strongly in getting Claude Humphrey in that even though he was voted down three or four years ago, they put him back up. So that hurt mixed his chances this time.
Just a couple minutes left here with Mark Craig joining us from the Minneapolis Star Tribune talking about Mick Tinglehoff and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's now 73, as you said, still lives up in the area. You've had a chance to talk to him. For the folks that weren't able to read your articles online, what's Mick think of all this after all this time?
Well, I think it's been so long, and he's said that, everybody I talk to and all the friends, a lot of former Vikings, old-timer Vikings live in the area, and they get together, and, and everybody thinks, there's some people that think he's already in the Hall of Fame, not those guys, but a lot of people think he's in the Hall of Fame. When they find out he's not, they're surprised. But he doesn't, I don't get the impression that he wakes up every morning and thinks about it. Probably thinks about it more when people like me or you or someone else bring it up.
Well, we've had him on the show, but it's been a couple of seasons, and he was quite the interview. He's just everything you would think a young man or now an elder statesman out of Lexington and Nebraska and Minnesota would be, a kind of guy you could sit down anywhere and have dinner and a drink with and chat about. Mark, I guess for the fans and maybe even me included, it all depends on who is on that. Are there a couple of guys that are still out there, in your opinion,
that aren't in the Hall of Fame that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame that would be up for senior consideration the next couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a list in front of me. I think it would be kind of unfair to throw out names. I just haven't studied that part of the Hall of Fame as far as, you know, who was considered this year. I know that Ray Guy was a guy was one in recent years that they were saying, you know, we should at least put him on the senior committee. You know, there's a lot of great players from back then. I grew up in Cleveland, and I watched Clay Matthews. He's not the first Clay Matthews; he's the second one. But Clay Matthews played linebacker for the Browns for so many years, and I don't know that he was a Hall of Fame player. But there's people, you know, because of the length of service that he played, and he had some Pro Bowls. But you know, there's a lot of guys. But just to say that there's one at the top of my head, I don't have anybody really.
Fair enough. Mark, we'll let you out of here with this. It doesn't seem like very many people are giving this year's Vikings much of a chance. In fact, a lot of them picking the Vikings to maybe finish last in the division. Your thoughts on the Vikings this year?
Well, you know, at this point last year, you know, they're coming off a 3-13 season, and we all had assumed basically – were laughing in their faces whenever they, you know, they were saying playoffs, and every team says playoffs. You know, they turned around and went 10-6. This year, I will say that, you know, if you're one of those that believe, and it's been proven true that, you know, it seems like half the teams turn over, half the playoff teams turn over every year, the Vikings would be a candidate to, you know, to be a team that makes it one year and it doesn't make it this year, because I think they could be a better team and still not have a better record or win 10 games, because, you know, you give up the one home game to go to London and play the Steelers. You're playing a harder schedule. You start your season right out, you know, two division games on the road. I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs, but I think it's going to be a much harder road to make it than this year. And it so much depends on Christian Ponder, because as great as Adrian Peterson was last year, you know, that was a team that didn't make the, you know, just kind of squeaked into the playoffs on the last week. They need the quarterback to play a lot better to kind of offset the schedule and to help Adrian out.
All right, Mark, we sure appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Great catching up with you, and enjoy the football season. Thanks so much for the time.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Folks, follow Mark Craig. Check him out online, Minneapolis Star Tribune. Everybody's on Twitter except us, Bonnie.
Nope. My daughter says I'm not cool enough to be on Twitter yet. Well, she's 16, so I don't know when I'll be cool enough. Yeah. It might be when she's 24.
You think that soon?
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's a smart kid. Okay.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got some emails to get to. Carl Tesmer, Hastings, St. Cecilia, Luke Hoover to answer all your fantasy football questions. Folks, don't forget to get them in. Email, Facebook them, text them to us here at the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll pass along your questions to Luke Hoover. We're back with more at the Kearney Country Club, part of the Kearney Fall Preview for Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, and UNK coaches, which gets underway at 11:45 with a meal noon for the coaches to speak. Come on out and join us. Back with more after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino. You can call it plain Kino. My point is this. We aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
At Advance Auto Parts, we know that batteries eventually give up, but we never do. Not when it comes to service. Need a new battery? At Advance, we'll install an AutoCraft battery for you. Free. You shouldn't have to give up any more of your hard-earned cash for great service. There, I said give up, but just to make a point. Give up. At Advance? Ha! Never. Fast, free battery installation. Only at
Advance Auto Parts.
With purchase on most vehicles, see store for details.
Hey, Mike Golick here, reminding you, if it's game day and you're not manning a grill of sizzling meat, spatula in one hand, a cold drink in the other, You're doing it all wrong. Visit grilling.com/ESPN in Kingsford. We'll show you game day done right. You could even be named Kingsford's Tailgater of the Year. Get 4 tickets to any game during championship week and win a life-size statue of yourself. That's Kingsford Charcoal, keeper of the hashtag tailgate rules and the official smell of...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As sunny skies continue across the area through the day today, we'll top off at around 98 for a high with south winds from 5 to 15. With clear skies and a light southwest wind tonight, we'll head back to 66. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 84.
High school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show takes us to one of the most outstanding programs in the state at Hastings St. Cecilia, and longtime coach Carl Tesmer joins us this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, great to catch up with you again. How are things?
You know, we're doing all right, Doug. We've been healthy, and we had a good summer. We worked out, conditioning went well, and you know, the weather probably cooperated a little bit, you know, better than we'd want, because we need a little more heat, and we'll get it. But things are going well. Number-wise, we're down a little bit in number of players out. But overall, what we have out has some experience and some talent, and so things are going well.
Well, I know a lot of programs that would take a playoff win and a 6-4 record in a heartbeat, but obviously that's considered maybe a down year at St. Cecilia. How did the kids deal with that, and how do you view that after making a back-to-back state championships and a deep run the previous year?
Well, it was a struggle. There's no doubt about it. You know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that we played Sutton twice, and they were in the finals, and Donovan didn't get to the finals, but they've got an outstanding team, and so three of those four losses were there. And you know, we're not used to losing district championships and things of that nature. There's no doubt about that. But I thought we competed well with our schedule and came back. You know, it was nip and tuck for a while just to get in the playoffs. So, we're not used to that. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back on the right track. Maybe hope pick up a few more wins this year.
Carl, did that make the off season and the spring practice or the fall practices so far, does it feel any different than maybe what it's been like the last 10 years?
I think the big difference was, you know, just our players in general, just kind of saying, hey, we're not used to being in this situation. We're going to work a little bit harder. So we really had a nice summer. Coach Ellie did an outstanding job, and you can have anybody you want. You can have old Boyd Epley in there trying to run things, but if the kids don't buy into it, it doesn't make any difference. And our players bought in, or at least our seniors did very, very well, and I've got a good group of seniors, and so that's helped. I just think it's created a little bit more of a, hey, let's pick it up here and kind of try to get back to where we were.
We're talking with Hastings St. Cecilia coach Carl Tesmer here on the Doug and Daddy Show for today's high school football preview. And you do have a lot of kids coming back, Coach. As you mentioned, maybe not the depth will be there, but you do have a lot of kids that are returning with starting experience.
Well, we've got 7 on, I think, on each side of the ball. Now, granted, some of those started maybe 1 or 2 games or started late in the year as people got injured, but you know, that's nice to have that experience. The big question for us will be in the backfield. You know, we'll have a new quarterback, fullback, and I back, and we have out, you know, some very good skilled people to run those. But it's always nice to have. I know I talked with Coach Mimic. You know, he and I would both rather have an experienced line and then try to find some backs to go with them. And I think that's a situation we're in on offense. Now on defense, you know, we really have to step it up. Our defense has been much, much better than we were a year ago, and we're going to have to get back to that point. And I think we're headed in the right direction there. And if we can do that, we're going to be a lot better football team this year than we were a year ago.
Coach, take me through how that is looking right now in the backfield, the quarterback race, and the running backs, and who maybe has established themselves, if you've made that choice yet.
Well, we're kind of at that point. Cannon Howell is a senior for us, and he did not play quarterback last year. He's played in the JV games, although last year he didn't get a whole lot of experience there. But he's a rangy player and can run and throw well. And so, you know, he's got good height at 6'3" and some fairly good size at 185 or 90. So, you know, and he thinks well, but he throws the ball very, very well, and he runs well. And so we've been trying to get in a little bit more of our gun formation or pistol formation, you know, with the idea that we're kind of opening up the offense a little bit more that way. And then at fullback, Tyler Wilnard has good size, and he has played in that position before. And so he's doing all right. Now at I-back, Driscoll and Pat Herman, who's come over from Adams Central, are really battling there hard. And throw Dan Harden in there, and we feel good about that. So with our experience up front, you know, if we can just hang on the ball and run some plays with some, you know, be crisp at it and everything, we think we've got an offense going. But our big concern is still defense.
St. Cecilia's Carl Tesmer with us here. Kind of speaking of defense, Coach, do you have to tweak anything? We've been talking with a variety of coaches. Maybe since Nebraska has went to a little more of a spread, we see some of those teams and what they do, and maybe the good teams on your schedule have went with a different offense. Have you had to do any tweaking?
You know, we haven't, but I understand the concern, and the spread offense has just been a nightmare for the college coaches. And it looks like it's going to stay here with the high school now, and it's going to be, and it's just as big a nightmare for us. But, you know, we felt like last year we just gave up the run too easily. You know, when people were able to run the ball very, very well against us. And so we've tried to go with a little bit more of an odd front, a 50 look kind of, and drop some ends off if we get into spread situations. And it seems to be working all right, with the idea that, again, we're going to have a few more people in the trenches and still try to keep two inside linebackers in there.
Just another minute here with the Carl Tesmer of St. Cecilia. Let me ask you a couple maybe off-the-field questions here, Carl. First,
yes.
The renovations at Duncan Field, will that affect the layout of the field or anything as far as a game plan goes?
You know what? It really won't. They've just done a nice job out there, and we've even updated our press box. And so we're just thrilled. No problems. The field is always in excellent condition, the field itself. And, you know, the atmosphere is something that's a little bit of a home field advantage for us, but it's still a flat surface with a lot of nice grass, and the lighting is okay. I know that there was some concern maybe at one time that maybe the lighting for the high pop-ups on the baseball side maybe was a problem, but it's certainly not going to hurt our football.
And we have Bob Jensen on all the time, and you and, of course, Coach Beller and Coach Wortman are on the cover of this year's Huskerland Prep. And we talked a little bit about it with Bob. All three of you were in the same room, all three with 300-plus wins in your career. What was that? I know it was interesting for Bob, and it's interesting for the media to hear from coaches that have had so much success and longevity. What was it like for you, and what was that day like?
Oh, exciting and humbling, both. I mean, it was very exciting. Coach Wortman, I know him well enough and have met him before. And Coach Belair, wow, what a job he's done. And you know, if there's anybody in my class, you know, that our class that we hate to see, it's Norfolk Catholic or maybe David City Aquinas, you know, year in and year out. But again, exciting just to share things. Bob, we just talked and talked. We talked about a lot of things, talked about old high school times and memories that, you know, you never forget. And then just the fact that I was able to talk and meet with these people was really exciting for me, Doug. I and humbling, you know, very, both. It was fun.
Was there any story that kind of stuck out or something maybe you learned that would be intriguing for our listeners?
Well, I'm not going to share a lot of them. A lot of them came from Bob. I never realized Bob likes to talk that much. And he was talking a lot of, about a lot of things and playing football with Dan Keyser, who, you know, was over at Cambridge and experienced all of that success. And I have tremendous respect for Dan. And so we talked. He told a couple incidents on the high school level about travel and bus and getting kids fired up before a game. And I told him what a gentleman Dan was. And he said, hey, don't forget, he can get excited too. And so he had a couple of those stories for us. And, you know, you always learn a little bit more as you talk with people just in general.
And, Carl, let's wrap it up with this. We touched on it a little bit. You do have two top 10 teams at least on your schedule and an improved Southern Valley crew down there. This is a very tough district with yourself, Sutton, Donovan, Southern Valley among the teams. Plus, you've got road games at Ravenna and Blue Hill. How do you stack this one up as compared to the past?
It's going to be tough. Really tough. The road games are always tough, and then as you said, you know, Southern Valley is up. They've got a lot of starters back, and you know, we're just going to try and get better each game. I would guess this will be our most challenging season as far as a regular season goes in a long, long time. But you know, and we're preparing for it that way. We've stepped up our conditioning, and we understand just how tough it's going to be. But you know, it's important that we stay healthy, of course, and get a break or two. And, you know, even last year's season at 6-4, we were a couple of special teams plays away from being maybe 7-2 or 7-3. So, but it's going to be tough. Doug. It really is. It's just, you know, those teams are for real. They're good.
Well, I guess that's what makes it exciting every Friday night, and I know you got a couple of weeks of practice left here to get the troops ready. Carl, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I know you'll have the kids ready. Keep them healthy, and we'll talk again soon.
We're going to do that. We're looking forward to it. We appreciate talking with you.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Carl Tesmer, Hastings St. Cecilia, getting their season underway. Boy, I think that's the first time in the show's history that we ever talked to Coach Tesmer where they weren't the favorite or one of the top two teams in the state. That doesn't mean they won't end up there, but I think maybe it was more about how good some of the other teams like a Sutton, the Donovan, some of the other teams that were on their schedule. But it's just, I chuckle because you have that kind of a record and everybody thinks, oh, no, we had a down season. Yeah. And you did have a down season because you're 12-1 or 13-0.
Yeah, their down season is a little bit different than some others. And one, you know, there's a few things that stay constant during the fall football season. One of them is St. Cecilia is going to have a powerful, fast team, and they're going to be good. So, but you're right. I think with so many good teams in that area in their class, it makes it more fun to watch.
Well, let's get into our fantasy football now, as we do every Thursday at this time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our fantasy football report brought to you by Fanatics, your fantasy football headquarters, with high-definition televisions from wall to wall, corner to corner, including their giant HD projection TVs, free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams. And don't forget, during Husker games, don't miss out on the all-you-can-eat tailgate buffet starting this Saturday. A wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers, and even a kids' menu that'll make you stand up and cheer. And don't forget to get signed up for our Fanatics and Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. All you have to do is go online. It's free at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein with you here as we welcome in Luke Hoover from RotoWire. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to be on.
Well, it's here. If you don't draft in the next week, you're not going to do it. So let's just jump right into it because we do have questions to get to. And we will start with Andrew, who says, Luke, what are your thoughts on Dexter McCluster and Justin Blackman after his suspension in a PPR league?
I love Blackman in particular in PPR league because the suspension definitely downgraded him far enough in drafts that you have a chance to get him as maybe your fourth receiver. And if you have to, I'd feel comfortable even, you know, reaching a bit and taking him as a third receiver, taking a guy a little later that I can get by with for 4 weeks while he's suspended. He's going to see a lot of targets in Jacksonville, and you kind of expect they're going to throw the ball a fair amount. You know, Jacksonville's defense isn't quite good enough. They're going to wind up playing from behind, and I think Gabbert's going to make another step in his progression this year, and Blackman will have a big year as a result. McCluster is an interesting guy to look for because he's a slot receiver in Andy Reid offense. They're going to throw the ball a lot, so he could have a fair amount of catches in the neighborhood of 60 or more because there's no clearly defined number two after Dwayne Bowe. So he's an interesting guy. If you want to grab real, real late, you could stash him on your bench.
Let's go to Mark, who wants to know if Terrell Pryor is worth picking up over a guy like Alex Smith for a backup quarterback.
Well, you have to be intrigued by the upside Pryor brings because of his mobility, his running numbers. If he does earn that starting job, and it looks like he really might beat out Flynn for it, could be strong this year. He's going to have to scramble a lot, so you know he's going to be, you know, getting outside of the pocket and picking up yards with his legs. You know, it depends on who your starter is, but I think if you want high upside, Pryor probably has a little more upside than Smith, but Smith is definitely safer at this point.
This comes from Bob and Gibbon. He wants to know about Reggie Bush, your thoughts on where a guy like him should be drafted.
Well, you know what, I was thinking about this today, and as much as it pains me as a Notre Dame guy to talk about him in this light, Reggie Bush is looking more and more to me like a very strong number two running back this year. He's going to catch a ton of passes in that Detroit offense. They throw the ball a lot, and they threw it a lot to the running backs last year. Joique Bell had over 50 receptions. Bush is going to eat a lot of those up. So I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Bush, you know, catch 80 balls in that neighborhood. And in a PPR league, he's a borderline number one running back because of that production that you'll see there. He should be well over 1,000 total yards if he stays healthy.
How will that affect, Luke, do you think, how will that affect the rest of your fantasy guys, a Calvin Johnson, a Matt Stafford, fill in the blanks on the other running backs and wide receivers that Detroit has? Everybody gets a little more, or because Bush is good enough, they get a little less?
Well, you know, because the running backs had over 100 receptions last year as a whole, I believe, just over, with Bell leading the way, I don't think it really detracts, certainly not from Calvin. He's definitely going to get his. And Stafford's going to throw the ball well over 600 times as he has these last 2 years. So his numbers, if anything, it helps Stafford. I think it boosts his value because he has a playmaker in space he can dump the ball off to, and Bush can take it to the house, you know, to create a few extra long touchdowns, or, you know, just getting extra first downs, keeping drives alive to ultimately get in the end zone. So it definitely increases the value of Stafford. I don't think Megatron changes whatsoever. If anyone is hurt by it, it's possibly Ryan Broyles as the number two and Brandon Pettigrew at tight end. You know, so they may see a few less targets than they otherwise would if Bush wasn't there.
Okay, I'm going to say that I didn't do enough research on this one here, but a lot of people are bringing up the C.J. Spiller deal in Buffalo. What happened? What was it, Fred? Who was the other guy last year, and what happened to him even after he got injured? Is he still there? Where's he at?
Yeah, Fred Jackson's still in town. I mean, he's getting up there in age, so you have to figure he's going to get phased out here in the near future. And Doug Marrone, you know, and the offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, they already come out and said they're going to give the ball to C.J. Spiller a ton. He's healthy. He's 100%. You know, they had that little scare in that last preseason game with the knee. He kind of grabbed it after a touchdown run, but it was just a cut, a laceration on his knee from, you know, another player's cleat. So health-wise, he should be good to go. He's fine. I believe he's still with family right now because there was an incident. I think it's his step-grandfather was involved in an incident in a shooting. So Spiller is not with the team as far as I know. But I still view him as a top 3 to 5 overall player. The upside there is just tremendous, you know, the speed, the elusiveness. If he gets 300 to 350 touches in that offense, especially an up-tempo attack, going to put defenses on their heels. Spiller could put up huge numbers as far as yardage.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Last year, I remember Washington was one of those teams that going into the draft, nobody was sure which running back to draft. Well, I would have to think that the Steelers are that way this year, Luke. Who do you draft?
You know what? It might be a backfield to just stay away from in general. If I were picking any of them, I might, you know, opt to take a guy like Bell, and I'm not one to take a chance on a guy who already has an injury, typically. But he should be in line to see a good workload once he gets healthy, and it sounds like he will. You know, it may take 6 weeks, so you might miss a chunk of the season. But if he falls, and you can get him as like your fourth running back, depending on some leagues I've seen where, you know, he's getting downgraded very significantly, almost to an extreme standpoint. So he could be a decent value. It sounds like Isaac Redman will get the start, but it's going to be a committee backfield. I think Jonathan Dwyer is a little more talented than Redman, so I think that will show up, you know, on Sundays, and that he'll wind up getting a few extra carries, but probably no more than 12 to 15 per game for any one of those backs. at best, any Steeler back you get is going to look like a flex.
Luke, we'll let you out of here with this one. Jason from Hastings wants to know if Tom Brady has enough weapons to make him a viable top quarterback again this year.
And, you know, I said it in the RotoWire magazine that came out this summer that Tom Brady would be a bust. And as talented as he is and as solid as his rookie receivers have looked so far, I have a feeling Tom Brady might make me eat my words on that one. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him still finish as a top five quarterback at this point. Kenbrell Tompkins, the undrafted rookie, looks like he could be the real deal there. He's a very, savvy receiver. Good possession type, and he should catch a lot of balls. Aaron Dobson has some upside. If Amendola stays healthy and Gronk comes back by week 3 or 4, with the other undrafted tight end they have, Zach Sudfeld, they certainly look like the weapons haven't really gone anywhere. They've changed names. We don't know a lot about them. Another guy to keep an eye on certainly is Shane Vereen. Out of the backfield, he could be one of those moving pieces that Belichick places all over the field for matchup problems. Tom Brady is going to definitely get his numbers this season.
All right, the last preseason games are scheduled for tonight. Next week, it'll be opening day, and Luke will help you set your lineup, and you can always follow him online. Get that subscription today at rotowire.com. They've got some neat games, some neat contests that are going on, and Luke, rotowire.com, the place to be. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Thursday on the opening of the NFL season.
Sounds great. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Luke Cooper, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As we have run out of time, I've got to bop upstairs for the fall preview as UNK, Kearney High, and Kearney Catholic coaches and students, athletes are here to get ready for the season. We're at the Kearney Country Club at Monte Kranzenstein. Before we go, give me your prediction for Saturday.
We're going to get them by, I'd say, 24, 25, something like that. I think we'll score points, obviously. It's the offense's greatest thing since scoring explosion, right? So we're going to score points, but I think you're going to get some busts, and they're going to score some points too. I think, but I would go under the 28-29, and I'd say us by 24-25.
All right, folks, our Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. Don't forget to sign up at ESPNSuperstation.com, and Fanatics, the place to be to watch the NFL, and of course, get involved with all of your fantasy news, free Wi-Fi, follow your team. Fanatics there for you in downtown Kearney. We want to thank Carl Tesmer, Hastings St. Cecilia football coach. We also want to thank Mark Craig from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Just ran into some folks here listening to that Mick Tinglehoff discussion, loving that. And, of course, Luke Hoover from RotoWire. Tomorrow, Jimmy Langan is in as my co-host. We get our predictions. It's Pigskin Pick'em. We'll give somebody a chance to win tomorrow on Pigskin Pick'em. Dick Beechner is in tomorrow to talk about the Nebraska High School Sports Hall of Fame and more. Monty, as always, thanks for the time. Enjoy the season.
We feel like it's getting close.
It's here,
I'm all
folks.
Tingly. Here we go.
The big prediction comes your way tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we will see you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.